Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, if you would, find your notes. We've begun this series of what God is looking for. What God is looking for. And I'm just of the opinion, if God is looking for something, I want him to find it in me. Would you agree with that? You know, that God, you're looking for this? John chapter 4, verse 23, the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. We've talked about last week how worship is much more than just something we do on a Sunday morning. That worship is a lifestyle. The spirit and truth we talked about. How that God wants to make a connection with us. And God is a spirit. So he relates to our spirit. He wants to be connected. He wants us to live in truth. To be the person that we proclaim we are and say we are. And that we live it throughout the day. So we're going to continue to look at this. And we want to understand. I want to put it to you in just another little perspective. If you'd allow me to do that. How worship is my obedience to the most important commandment. You know what that commandment is, but it's here in Mark chapter 12, verse 29. Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. All you and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength." So Jesus says, look, I'm going to make it simple for you. All you have to do is just love me with everything you are. And everything you have. And if you love me with everything you've got, we're going to be good. Pretty simple, right? So that's worship. Now, let me just break that down for you. First of all, it's expressing my affection to God. Loving God with all my heart and all my soul. It's expressing my affection to God. In other words, I need to tell him. I love him. I need to express that to him. In fact, let me just do something right now. This week, I will be celebrating one of the best decisions I ever made in my life. My wife and I will be married 45 years. Yeah. And here's what I know. As that date gets here this week, I better express some affection. Right? I just better do it, correct? And so that's what worship is. You know, loving God with all my heart and all my soul. If you love him that way, you express that, don't you? Let me give it to you another way, a little question. What or who do I love most? Now, I love my wife. I'm very grateful for her, but I love God more. And that should be that way for every Christian. That throughout my life, I have to ask myself, do I love anything or anyone more than God? And if I do, I'm not worshiping, am I? I'm not loving him as I should, am I? Because when he says, you love me with all my heart and soul, that's all. With everything I have. And so it begins with expressing my affection to God. That's what worship does. It expresses our affection towards God. That's what this commandment is about. Secondly, he says, I need to focus my attention on God. I need to focus on him. Loving God with all my mind. Now here's the deal. All throughout this week, you are going to have thousands of thoughts go through your mind, aren't you? Some of you will spend it worrying about what's going to happen next, or how am I going to do this, or how's this going to happen, or what's going to go here. Some of you will use it thinking about if I could just purchase this, or if I just had that. Some of you will be thinking about, well, if that person would just pay me some attention. Some of you are thinking about, well, if this job would just get a little bit better. You've got all kinds of thoughts going through your mind all throughout the week, don't you? And so I have to ask myself, here's the next question. What or who do I think about most? Now, I'm not naive enough to think you and I can think about God all the time. But would you agree with me that you and I should think about God more than anything else? That he should be number one on that chart? And that throughout this week, as I live to worship him, he should be in my thoughts? And that no matter where I find myself or where I'm at, I can think about him. I can put his thoughts in my mind. I can just think, God's awesome. God's good. God's my father. God cares for me. God loves me. This is who God is. I should think about him more than anything else. Agreed? Okay. Thirdly, using my abilities for God. Loving God with all my strength. I should take my life and I should use it for God. And here's the question, what do I do most? I should be involved in doing things that honor God. Now, you can do a lot of things in life, but here's what I know. Please hear this. Everything you do in life, you should be able to honor God in it, correct? You should be able to do it for his glory, for his honor, not yours. Well, I just do things for my fulfillment. See, we live in a very self-absorbed world, don't we? It's all about me. Well, you know what? No, it's not. If you're a Christian, it's all about him. And he should be in my thoughts. He should be in my spirit, my soul, the affections of my life. That gives my attention, my abilities, everything I am. That's who God is. And Jesus said, look, if you can love me that way, you're good. And you know, if you do all of that, I think that's worship, don't you? That's really the heart of worship. Much more than just coming into a building, raising our hands, singing a few choruses, walking out saying, well, I did it. Worship goes on every day throughout our lives. And it begins with this understanding of the commandment that Jesus gave to us. This is the greatest. In fact, this is the biggest. This is the best. This is it. I can sum it all up in this. Expressing my affections, focusing my attention, and using my abilities. When I do that, I'm obeying God and I'm worshiping him. So as we do that, let me give you some observations about worship. As we go through that, let me just tell you some things about it that you're going to have to deal with. First of all, worship is based on a choice, not a feeling. Now, a little self-confession, but I don't have to worry too much about it because if you're honest, you've been the same way. We've been married 45 years. Do you think every moment and every second of that 45 years I have felt like loving my wife? Now, she's better at it than I am, and so she's probably closer to it than I am. But sometimes you don't feel like loving somebody, do you? We don't love each other anymore. Well, that's your choice. And see, if I just worship God when I feel like it, he'll fall way down at the bottom of the list, won't he? He won't be there all the time. And if I just think, well, I worshiped when I came to church and felt some goosebumps, that was really great worship. Oh, it moved me. Glad that it did. But if you're just always waiting to be moved before you think about God and before you think you're worshiping, you're going to miss a whole lot in life. And so it's not just a feeling. In fact, you and I can worship God when things are horrible. Habakkuk put it this way. He says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms, now remember, figs were a big part of their produce, and there's no grapes on the vine. They're not, you know, that's another part of their produce. The olive crop fails. Boy, he's about listed them all. The fields lie empty and barren. And even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, he's just painted a real horrible scenario, hasn't he? Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. That's worship. That's loving God with all your heart, all your being. That's what it's about. And so I've got to understand that if I just live my life just by feelings and by emotions and by just what I think and what I feel. Well, I don't feel like it, and I don't feel like this. You know, there's a lot of times. I'll just tell you honestly, there's been some Sunday mornings I don't feel like coming here. Okay? But you know what? My wife makes me come anyway. So here I am. And so you and I have to understand that tomorrow morning, you might not feel like getting up and going to work, but you know what? You better go to work. You might not feel like being nice to the person that you have to work with, but you better. Well, Pastor, isn't that dishonest? No. You see, you act yourself into feelings. You don't feel yourself into actions. And you have to deal with this and come to understand that there's a choice that you and I make every day. When I wake up tomorrow morning, here's the question. Am I going to worship God? All my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. Well, I don't feel like it today. Well, tough. Suck it up and do it anyway. Right? That's it. That's it. So worship is based on a choice, not a feeling. Secondly, worship is costly. You see, because I have to do it whether I feel like it or not, it's going to cost me something. That's why the Bible says that if you and I are going to follow God, you got to deny yourself, pick up the cross, and go. There's the cost. I've got to say no to me and yes to God. I got to worship Him with everything I have. I got to die to me so I can live to God. There's always a cost involved in worship. You know, expressing love to somebody this week, it's going to be costly. Right? More ways than one. Don't look at me like that. You know what I'm saying. So you and I have to understand, well, I want this to be convenient. I want it to be something I like. I want it to be easy. I just want it to be natural. I just don't want to have to work at it. Worship is costly. Genesis 22. Here's how deep that cost can get sometimes. God appeared to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want your boy. I want to know that you love me more than him. I want to know, Abraham, that you love me more than that son you have dreamed about for years. Most precious possession you have right now. I want to test it. I want to know it. And on the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little farther. Notice, we will worship there. And then this word shouldn't be there. We will come right back. According to plan, he was to come back alone. But see, he saw it all as worship, didn't he? Loving God with everything I've got, and whatever he wants from me, I'll pay the price. Because I love him with all my heart, my soul, my mind, my body. Whatever it costs, I'll pay it. David one day wanted to offer a sacrifice, and he wanted to do it in a specific spot because it was important to him. And he goes to the gentleman who owned the property and said, I want to do this, and I want to offer a sacrifice here. I want to buy your property. When the man found out who it was and what he was going to do, he said, no, I'll give it to you. You can have it. And David uttered these great words, I will not present burnt offerings to the Lord my God that have cost me nothing. I want it easy. I want it free. I want a coupon where I get to buy one, get one free. I want to wade through this. I want it quick. I want it fast. Now hear me. It's a great cost, but you'll never find a better deal anywhere on this planet. It will cost, but it's a great deal. A great deal. Thirdly, worship draws us close to God. Why do I do this? I get closer to God when I do this. When I love him, I get close to him. And I hope you're here this morning and you walked in and you kind of felt, you know, I'd like to be closer to God. I'd like to be a little closer to God than I am right now. I don't need to raise your hands. I don't want to be discouraged. You know, I want that. I want that. Okay. God says, you know what? If you'll worship me, you'll get closer to me. James chapter 4, verse 5. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he's placed within us should be faithful to him more than anyone else. I love you. And he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. How many times do we beg God to come to us, when in reality the secret is we need to go to him? And he says, if you'll come to me, I'll come to you. What a great promise. God doesn't say, if you come to me, I might come to you. He says, I will. And so you come, he'll go, wash your hands, you sinner, purify your hearts. Your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you've done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, gloom instead of joy. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. So, why do I worship? Well, one of the reasons is God tells me to, but the other reason is, you know, when I do this and when I live this way, God gets closer to me and I get closer to him. And that's just one of the great relationships in life. There's just nothing better than that, of feeling God's presence. Oh, God, I want your presence. And what we say too many times, you know, I just want you to come down and do something for me. Rather than saying, God, I want your presence. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get as close to you as I can, and I'm coming after you. And I know that as I do that, you'll come to me, and we'll meet, and he cares. It's like the story of the prodigal son. The son goes away, wastes all the money, lives a horrible life, but when he's ready to come back, the father doesn't stand on the porch and say, what do you want now? He doesn't go inside and lock the door and say, you're not coming in. The father, the story tells us, takes up his cloak because he doesn't want to trip, and he runs to his son. You've come home. That's how it works. If I go to him, he comes to me. And worship draws me close to God. And then worship creates a proper response. You see, when I begin to do that and begin to go close to him and draw to him, then the relationship begins to happen, doesn't it? Then I begin to respond out of the goodness and the greatness of God. Then I can stand in a service on a Sunday morning because all week God's been faithful and God's been good to me. And I can tell him, God, you're faithful. God, you're a good father. God, I love you. I care for you. I thank you. Worship is love poured out. Worship creates that response that I'll do what's right before God. That's why Jesus says, look, all the commandments, you love me with everything you got, and you'll do right. You'll respond correctly. Exodus 34:14, you must worship no other gods. In other words, they don't get your heart, they don't get your mind, they don't get your attention in the actions, for the Lord, whose very name is jealous, is a God who is jealous about his relationship with you. You know what? I love my wife so much, I don't want to share her with anybody else. And God loves you so much, he doesn't want to share you with anybody else. He wants an exclusive relationship. And you see, if I'll worship him, it will create the response that God is looking for from me. It will draw me closer to him. Psalm 24, verse 3. Who may climb to the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? of those whose hands are pure and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols, never tell lies. They'll receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior. Such people may seek you and worship in your presence, O God of Jacob. When I come, I get to worship. Psalm 48:9, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love as we worship in your temple. God, you're always on my mind. God, you have my heart. And Lord, everything I do, I want to do for you. That's called worship. That's obedience to the great commandment. That will cause you to be able to do what's right. It'll cause you to be able to make good decisions. It'll cause you to be able to stand in the midst of difficult times. You will respond correctly to the issues of life that come your way. You'll respond correctly to the people around you that maybe don't understand and don't see it, but you'll be able to respond because you and God are close. Three Hebrew children found themselves in a very tough predicament one day. They're required to bow to another god. And I want you to notice what they say in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. Why don't they? Because they've been living a consistent life the whole time, haven't they? If we're thrown in the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. Wow, great faith. But I just love the next verse. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, we will never serve your gods or worship the gourd statue you've set up. No matter what happens, we're going to be faithful to God. And nothing's going to change that, and nothing's going to make that kind of difference in our God, this is the response I want to give to you because of my heart for you and my love for you. Well, how can all that happen? How can you do all that? Well, we know it's love, but there's another point here that we're going to make is that worship is confident of God's character. God, you're good. God, you're faithful. God, you'll take care of me. God, you love me. We say God is good all the time, but let's be honest, sometimes we don't believe that, do we? God, why are you letting this happen to me? God, this isn't fair. God, why'd you do this? See, there's a lot of people in the world who blame God for the evil in this world. But you and I come to that place where that we know God well enough to know what he's like. And he's always consistent, isn't he? He's not mad at us one day and happy with us the next. He loves us every day of our life. Psalm 100 verse 1, shout with joy to the Lord all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us. We're his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. He's good. God's good. God's faithful. Amen? Just checking. Psalm 138. I give thanks, O Lord, with all my heart. I will sing your praises before the gods. I bow before your holy temple as I worship. Now, let me just stop there because some of you see that word temple? That's the temple. Why did they bow before his temple? Because Old Testament, where's God's presence? In the temple. That's where God lived. Where does he live now? In here. I have God's presence, his spirit, my spirit, worship. I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness. For your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. And as soon as I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by giving me strength. Oh, in the midst of living in a world where we question people and their motives and who they are and what they're like and their inconsistencies, It's good to know that we serve a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and never changes, and he's always there. And so we come to him to worship him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. Now, just let me ask you a simple question. How are you doing with that? This week, or this past week, did you think about God more than you thought about anybody else or anything else? This week, the motives behind what you did, were they to honor God because you want him to be pleased with how you live and what you do? This past week, was there this sense that was there within you of God's presence and knowing you're never alone and that he's always with you? And that because he lives in us, there's great peace and great joy. If you did, then you loved him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and you worshiped him. If you didn't, what needs to change? What needs to change? Maybe for some of you here this morning, you just don't have that relationship with God and you just kind of do your own thing and go your own way and you really haven't made a commitment to God and he's there, but it's not life-changing to you. And maybe today you need to ask him to come into your life and change your life. For some of you here today, you've accepted Christ, but the insides of you sometimes get churned up and you allow things to come inside that don't help you, but they hurt you. You need to work on that. For some of you, your mind has wandered sometimes into places it should never go. Sometimes onto things that don't really matter. And maybe you need to work on that. And for some of you, you've just lived the week and done your thing and just tried to get through and made it to the weekend. Rather than thinking about, you know what? Everything I do, I want to do for the glory of God. So where is it today you need to change? Where is it today that you need to improve your worship? Where is it that you need to love God with everything you are? Would you take a moment right now and just maybe bow your head just so you're not distracted? And would you ask God to help you? Would you just take a moment and ask him to help you with this in that area that you struggle with? God, I want to love you in this way. I want to worship you. Help me. Help me.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag. or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.